2, verses 42 to 47, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you, Chris.
It's not me.
Come on.
Jerusalem would have been full, busy, noisy, exciting, as many people had gathered together from many different nationalities to celebrate one of the annual important feasts of the Jewish people. A feast that had been put in place centuries before by God as something the people had were called to celebrate each year. So it was something they were used to, it was something they'd done on many occasions. But then, at the time of this feast, something totally unprecedented had happened. There was a loud noise. We find out about this if we read the beginning of the chapter. The followers of Jesus had been transformed through the outpouring of the Spirit. The message of Jesus had been proclaimed powerfully. Many people had chosen to follow him. And in one key moment, seemingly sort of in one afternoon, the group of people who were following Jesus had expanded from around 120 to just over 3,000. There was a lot to be worked out as to what it all meant. It would have had a major impact on their understanding of themselves and of God as they recognized that the one who had been crucified just a few weeks before was alive, was God, could restore them into a full relationship with God. Exciting times. And in those verses that we've just heard at the end of Acts 2, we get an indication of how this group of believers operated in those early days as they started to understand and work out what church was going to be like. And I wish to draw out some of those ideas, some of those principles, and particularly what it tells us about a model for people meeting in smaller groups, in what we've referred to as house groups, in life groups. And that description, by the way, life groups, is how we'd like to start referring to these groups in our church, as a recognition that they are places where people share different aspects of their lives together, and they often don't meet in houses either. So it seems like a reasonable term to use. And we also will be talking a bit later in the service about how we want to set up some new groups that might work out some of these principles. Exciting times then? I think these are exciting times now. One of the clear things we see in those few verses is that God was at the center of who they were and how they met. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And much of what these apostles, those first disciples of Jesus, would have spoken about was their experience of Jesus, about what he had taught them. And they passed this on to these new believers. They broke bread together. They had a meal together. It probably also includes a reference to communion as a way of remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. They prayed together. They met in the temple. They praised God in public worship. They were amazed at what those first followers of Jesus were able to do as they spoke in the power of the Spirit and performed powerful acts demonstrating the presence of God. So God, their appreciation of him, their desire for him, was very much at the center, both when they met in gatherings for public worship and when they met in smaller groups, such as when they ate together and met in other people's homes. They enjoyed fellowship together, a word that can take on many different meanings, but it carries the idea of being together, of sharing in what was going on, being in close relationship with others, being generous towards those in their community. And this is demonstrated by holding things in common, by being prepared to sell what they owned to give to those in need, and again, to eat together in their homes. And so often throughout the Bible, and in society generally, meeting together for a meal has been a sign of friendship and where people can grow in relationship together. Most of what we've seen so far is about who they were as people, as a worshipping community, seeking to follow God, to be obedient to Jesus, to be open to what the Spirit wanted to do in their lives. And one of the songs that we were singing earlier encourages us to simply be open to what God wants to do in us. But towards the end of that powerful description of the early church, there's a phrase that speaks about the impact that this was happening on those around them. People in the town, friends, neighbours, were seeing this community in public worship. They were seeing this community being friends together. They were seeing this community in smaller groups, in and out of each other's homes. And it was something that people appreciated and recognised as positive and to be valued. They enjoyed favour with the people around them. And this is not a new concept. Joseph, remember one of the sons of Jacob, sold as a slave into Egypt. He had been shown favor by Pharaoh. And that enabled him to be a major influence in the life of the Egyptian people and nation. The Israelites, just before the Exodus, we find in Exodus 12, were looked on favorably by the Egyptians. And that enabled them to leave Egypt with great riches. Jesus himself was described in his early years as growing in favor with God and man. There are other accounts at the time of groups being seen favorably due to how they lived and what they stood for. So this idea of having a positive impact on the people around them is something we see throughout the Bible. And it seems to have been a contributory factor towards what happened next, that of more people coming to believe in Jesus as verse 47 says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Yes, the first followers of Jesus, those disciples, those apostles, had a major role to play as they demonstrated God's power at work in their lives. And it was God who worked in transforming power in the lives of those who were coming to believe in Jesus. But there also seems to have been something significant in the way this new community was seen by those who were, at that time, on the outside. Their presence, how they were seen by others, their way of living, what they said about Jesus, all ended up being rather infectious, which in that context is a good thing. And people wanted to join in and be part of it as well. They had been transformed by Jesus. And this showed in how they lived and shared together, how they encouraged each other, how they grew and developed in their faith together, how they were there for each other. And in so many ways, as many have recognized, this is so different from the way our culture encourages us to think and act today. Because we are taught to have things our way, and that being able to have our individual needs catered for is how to measure the success of an organisation. In our culture, our individual needs and rights come before any needs of a group. But the model outlined in Acts is totally different, with people seeking the good of the group and the community that they were part of. What they said about Jesus, what they said about God, was matched by the way they lived and showed the impact of having a life-changing relationship with Jesus. What might this look like today? Before I talk briefly about that, I want to recognise what some of what is currently the reality in our church context, to recognise so much that is positive. The desire for God, the great sense of family, the desire to support and encourage each other in so many ways. Our current small groups, as they meet to reflect on God's word together, to share, to support, to pray, and the focus that is developing there to be a greater blessing to those in our community. These are good and to be valued and recognised. Now, there is a lot that could be said about how churches today could seek to model what we see in the early church. And there are valid questions as to whether we should seek to model it all. We are removed by thousands of years and a totally different culture, but there's some interesting questions to explore. And this morning, I want to particularly focus on the idea of these smaller groups, where people who meet together during the week to share, to pray, to focus on Jesus, and so on. And based on the model we see in Acts 2, there are some characteristics of these groups that seem to be important. And someone, I actually don't know who, but someone has helpfully characterized these as the five F's. That's difficult to say. The five F's, okay? And these are the five. Some of them are a bit of a stretch, but we'll go with them. They are people who are fired up. Jesus is at the center of who they are and what they do as a group together. They are seeking the Spirit to come and pour his presence into them and to enable them to maintain that focus on Jesus. Food. As we've seen, that seemed to be an important thing in the life of the early church. We recognize that's an important thing today. And there's a principle that groups will find helpful. It's not just provided by the host, but it's something the group contribute towards as a whole, as part of sharing life together. There is fun, opportunities to relax and enjoy time together. There's the idea of family, where people come together, they share resources, they support each other, they are there for each other, they encourage each other, they do life together. And there is a focus, a shared focus on mission, of drawing others into a relationship with Jesus. This is not necessarily saying they're all engaged in the same outreach activity, but they support and encourage each member of the group to live as followers of Jesus, trying to introduce others to Jesus as well. In a few moments, we're going to hear from Lisa and Kat, who are just going to share some of their thoughts about, I think, what they would like to see in some groups, as we think about starting some new groups. And that's a really exciting thing. And I had a great conversation with existing small group leaders earlier this week, talking about this, talking it over with them, reflecting on how much they are incorporating these principles and so on. The small groups we see in Acts 2 seem to play a major role in living out the reality of being a follower of Jesus and of drawing others to him as well. I expect that some of this went back to how Jesus engaged with and worked with that small group of people he had called to be around him. Clearly, he was the center of it all, and they recognized the importance and privilege of being close to him and part of what he was doing. There are occasions when we see Jesus eating and sharing food with his disciples. Some very significant moments, like in the upper room before the cross. Some they would have just stopped on their journey during the day to have a meal together and just shared time together. There are times when they take opportunity to draw away from the challenge of ministry and just rest as they enjoyed time together. And I'm sure there were many opportunities to relax and to have fun together as they walked from place to place. They had left all to follow Jesus. They had much in common as they lived life together in a very real way. And they had a clear focus on mission, both in supporting the work that Jesus was doing and being sent out by him on their own, well, in groups, to tell other people about him as well. And our dream and desire is that small groups in our church are able to do the same again today, to work out what it means to follow the model set by Jesus, to work out what it means to follow the model we see in the early church, and through that, provide a channel for seeing many people in our town coming to know Jesus for themselves. Wouldn't it be great if through the ministry of small groups in our church, we each grow closer to Jesus, we each grow closer to each other and are unable to support and be there and be part of each other's lives, and that we're able to introduce many people to Jesus for themselves. So that's what we wanted to reflect on and to share this morning. And I'm going to ask Lisa and Kat to come and share their thoughts. Do you mind who goes first? Lisa's on her feet. That's a good plan. We're all recognizing Lisa is a good place to start. Thank you.
Thanks, Graham. Kat and I have not coordinated this at all, so we might say the same thing or something completely different. I think that's okay. Heather asked us to talk about the effects that life groups had had on us and on our lives, so that's what I've done, and I've made some notes so it doesn't last too long. So I've got three things to share. The first one is feeling full. So partly a funny one, but when we met in house group, we always ate together, and it was always good. We did take turns to cook so that it never fell on one person to provide all the food. But eating together was a really important part of what we did. Sharing a meal and conversations over the meal made space for us to laugh out loud. And there was a lot of laughter in our groups. There was a lot of fun. Some of you remember Pete Cornell. Pete Cornell and I were in a group. We had a lot of what we like to call banter, and we still do. It allowed us to update each other, to share what had happened in our lives since the last time that we met. And that meant that we really got to know each other well, and that we learned to be honest and open and built deep relationships. And it meant our bellies were full, but our hearts were full also when we left. The second thing that I said is that we've got authentic and lasting friendships. Because of the amount of time we spent together and the depths of the relationship we built, there was a real authenticity. We were able to be real with each other, which meant that you felt fully loved and fully known. And if you actually came and you felt rubbish, you said that you felt rubbish. And if you came and you felt great, you said that you felt great. And there was something really special about that. These relationships have lasted far beyond the life of the group. I was thinking about this morning. Even now, we share prayer requests with each other. We share life's highs and lows. And last year, in April, Rachie and myself and Pete and Charlie and Emily and Ian all went on holiday together. And it's not the first time that happened. There were four children under the age of seven. We were all in one house, and it was wonderful. The relationships built saw us through the pandemic as well, and we met online, and I firmly believe they're friendships that will last a lifetime. What's beautiful is that because God's love is reflected in the group, so is God's heart for inclusion. So we had all different people of all different ages and all different walks of life coming together, and I can't think of any other place in which that would happen. But it worked. And these people are still our friends and will always be. And then finally, the ability to live out your faith outside of your group. I didn't know what Graham was going to say this morning, but there's a lot of overlap here. I've put much of what I have said above about friendship and eating together could apply to almost any group that you could be part of. But the difference for me in house group was that this was the one place I could be fully me, including my faith. I was able to talk about faith, to explore what the Bible said and what it meant, to disagree about that, agreeably, to pray for others and to have them pray for me. It was actually where my faith became alive and where what we heard on Sunday became a reality. For me, there are very few places in the work that I do where you can openly discuss your faith. So this was a really precious space. It brought me closer to God, and it gave me the certainty and foundation to live out my faith in my day-to-day life with others and to feel confident in sharing God in those situations. In conversations I've had with others, including Kat, the bit I think we miss at the moment is the God bit. So we can do friendship quite well. We're good at that. And we're also, if we're honest, a number of us good at eating together, or just eating on our own. But eating is important. But the God bit is what we miss. It's what makes the groups really special. In fact, Tim and I miss being part of a group so much that we even tried to start one. Sadly, we met about three times just before the pandemic, and then the pandemic came. I think my faith and my life was richer when I was in a house group, and I can't wait to be part of one again. Over to you, Kat.
Just say the same and then go. I think for me, house group, becoming a mum, made me realise how much more important a house group was and the impact meeting together as a church family in small groups has on your children's life, and how seeing it modelled in a smaller context is just wonderful, really, and special, and the range of ages and different walks of life that you have in those smaller groups, and eating together, obviously, and sitting down and chatting together and just catching up midweek, because sometimes church can be a bit busy and we're all doing our own little things, trying to, I don't know, do the music, do this, do that, and it's not... Yeah, sometimes it feels quite rushed, doesn't it? And it's just nice to be together for an evening, talking about Jesus, sharing where we're at, what's been happening in our lives, and just having that little moment. I think it's harder, isn't it, these days, as we are so busy and we're bombarded by all technology and things, to just have those precious moments together in a home. Loving one another, really, and supporting each other, as you were saying, Lisa. I think that's all I've got to say. Short and sweet.
I can't tell you how excited I am about this. It's time, isn't it? I know that Graham mentioned, you know, we do have small groups that are meeting at the moment and have continued to meet, and we really honour those. And when I drive, I have the privilege of driving past the Mabry Centre on a Tuesday night, I think it is, and seeing one of our small groups that meet in there. And I, as I drive past, I just think, oh, brilliant, so good, because people can see as well as what you get from it. And so we don't want anybody to be left out of this opportunity. We are wanting to start some new life groups, and they're going to be characterised by these five Fs. They're going to be something that we work on. I think, as Lisa and Kat have mentioned, we're good at the food, so we could put a tick by that one. But there are perhaps things down there that we're going to need to work on, that we're going to have to tweak things and journey together with these new groups. But we want to give everybody the opportunity of joining a new life group. So we know we have some things, some logistics to work through. We don't want to call people leaders of groups, just because we know that feels like an onerous task, and sometimes people are put off by that. We do need overseers, but that doesn't mean that you do everything. We very much want these new groups to be a group effort, so that not one person has to host every week, not one person has to cook every week, not one person is responsible for bringing the content. We want to make this a real shared endeavour. So we are going to be looking for people who are willing to be overseers that kind of bring the group together and make sure everything's covered, but there isn't going to be a particular leader of each group. It's going to be much more collaborative than that. So we wanted to tell you of the ways that you can access this. So if we go on to the next slide, hopefully, you'll be able to see. Of course, there will be a sign up on Church Suite. So if that's your preferred way of communicating with us, that would be really, really helpful. You will get an email probably on Monday morning with a link to sign up. And what we need from you is a name and your preferred way for us to contact you. And if there is anybody that you would actually like to be with, I do this at the Ark. I say to the children, you can choose one person to be put in a group with so that you know that you've got somebody that you know. And we want to do the same here. We don't want to just throw you in a group where you don't know anybody. So if you'd like to be with somebody in particular in a new life group, then the choice is yours. If Church Suite is not for you, come and talk to us. Graham has been known to have a piece of paper and a pencil. It's quite rare, but he will record it somehow. And Isabel and I are available too, if you want to just come and tell us name, number, who you'd like to be with. Or you can just send us an email and we will deal with it in that way. So there's three different ways that you can sign up for this. This is not compulsory. I've made it sound compulsory just because I'm so compassionate about it. I'm really excited about these new life groups, and I would love for everybody to experience what it's like to be in a house, in a small group where you are encouraged, where you're prayed for, where you're listened to, and where you're built up. So we just really want to put that out there. So that's how you do it. Now it's over to you to decide whether you'd like to be part of one. We will leave it up to you. Thank you, Isabel.